The Dr. Tracy Show, your integrated health expert, here to help when you log on to peaksofhealth.com, peaksofhealth.com.
That's a very smart jingle. You should listen to it, peaksofhealth.com. Check it out. Dr. Tracy, Aaron Jacobson here today on the Dr. Tracy Show. Dr. Tracy, how you doing?
I'm doing good.
And like I said, peaksofhealth.com. Check it out. Dr. Tracy, I always like to follow along during the show because there's so much information that you guys at Peaks of Health put on the website so people can follow along and get information on anything from hormone therapy, thyroid, diabetes, environmental toxins. We've talked about this before, molds, fungus, Lyme disease, weight loss, chronic fatigue, all that and more you can find on the website or right here on the Dr. Tracy Show every week at 3 o'clock on 970 WFLA. Hope you all had a great week. Today, though, we're going to unlock a puzzle, Dr. Tracy, the hormone puzzle.
Love puzzles.
And I know you saying you love puzzles. I know you probably have done a great job at dissecting this hormone puzzle. So let's start with when we're talking about hormones and the importance of balance. We always talk about balance. How does someone know when they're out of balance when it comes to hormones?
Well, most of the time, they just don't feel right, you know, especially when it's women or men. They can be tired, fatigued, depressed, irritable, losing or gaining weight, crying, you know. And when we're talking about hormones, here we're going to be talking about some specific hormones. But, you know, you got to realize hormones are the signals that tell one part of the body to do something. You know, so thyroid tells the body to rev up or rev down the metabolism. You know, so if they're not in synchrony or they're not working correctly and they're imbalanced, then that highway is not working. So I tell the people it's the difference between being on US 19 in traffic or being on the Autobahn. Something's not working right.
Yes, exactly. And us here in Tampa, we get that ever so. We get that reference because we're always in traffic here.
Exactly. You know, it's like, you know, winter or summer inside a thing.
But how, I mean, it's hard. It's easy to say, okay, well, something's out of balance. What do they have to do to get it right?
Well, we need to see what the imbalance is, if that's happening. And then we start looking at those hormones and seeing how they interconnect with each other. You know, so if somebody is, say, pre-diabetic, chances are they're kind of throwing off their adrenal hormones or their thyroid hormones. If somebody is perimenopausal or has PMS or, you know, again, is going into menopause or andropause, then again, those hormones, those signals are not getting through anymore.
Let's say somebody comes to you, Dr. Tracy, at Peaks of Health, and says, I don't feel right. I think something's wrong. And you guys try to put together that puzzle that is the hormone mystery. Where do you start with each patient? I mean, each patient we know is different, but where do you start?
Well, we start with basic laboratory work. So we start with blood work, and then we build from that. So we do, you know, we look at those hormones in the blood work, the thyroid hormone, the sugar hormone, the insulin hormone. We start looking at the sexual hormones in terms of testosterone, estrogen, progesterone, pregnenolone.
You look at it all at once, or is it something you take step by step?
Now, we'll look at all of that at once because we have to put that picture together. Mm-hmm. Because, you know, we have to find where the imbalance is, you know, and it might be the ratios are off. Say somebody might have too much estrogen and not enough progesterone, and so they're estrogen dominant, and that can create a whole series of symptoms at that point.
Let's get more into estrogen. Break down estrogen for us.
Well, estrogen is unbelievably important to the female. You know, the men need estrogen too, but, you know, females especially, and this is what helps protect their blood vessels. It keeps them flexible. It protects the endothelium, which is the inner lining of the blood vessel. You know, it also helps control their blood sugar. Estrogen decreases blood sugar, increases blood flow. And again, estrogen has 400 different functions in the body. So it's not just about sexual health. You know, when it goes down, it helps protect our bones. It helps protect our heart. It helps protect our brain. So it's necessary. And women will notice that they'll have a lot of memory issues when their estrogen levels go down. They'll start forgetting things. They'll start leaving their keys. Well, we call this aging, but it's actually the hormones that control that system are affected.
So you send their blood work in, you find out their estrogen levels are in fact down. What next?
Well, then we go ahead and talk to them about their options there. You know, menopause is a natural form of aging. You know, the downside was 40 years ago or 50, 60 years ago, we didn't live to be 80, 90 years old. You know, we used to, you know, die in our 40s and 50s when this happened. Now we live beyond it, and now we're facing the consequences of all of those years without the hormones and that significant aging process that occurs. So they have their options. They can go ahead and, you know, do things to kind of build the system up a little bit and supplement it and try to, you know, affect those symptoms, or they can replace those hormones.
Now, you said this is more of a woman problem. Do you see that most of the time when it comes to the estrogen hormones, the levels are low, particularly in women compared to men?
Well, the levels are usually lower in women, and that's their problem. Men get more estrogen problems if they are going high. They get their testosterone can turn into estrogen, and high estrogen in men causes them to get what we call moobs or man boobs.
Man boobs.
Exactly. They also get the increased belly. You know, we think of the beer belly, but guess what beer does? It turns testosterone into estrogen.
For some reason, I love you a little more for knowing the term moobs. Moobs.
Yeah.
That says a lot about me.
Well, I will tell you right now, Aaron does not have moobs.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome.
You heard it. I swear I wasn't going to lie and pump myself up. I don't have it. But this is something you want to keep. You don't want. If you're a guy, it's something you don't want.
It is definitely something you don't want. And it can happen when guys are abusing testosterone because they're turning too much of it into estrogen because they're giving themselves too much. And it can happen when men are on the overweight or obese side or diabetic. Automatically changes the way your testosterone functions and you'll turn more of that into estrogen.
In my experience, I've seen it more with friends who are taking some supplement improperly, maybe not working out the right way on it, and that's where I see it forming. Is that something you see?
Yeah, actually, when they're actually taking testosterone or they're taking some form of a testosterone builder, a lot of that testosterone may, what we call, it's the process is called aromatization or aromatize, and that is the chemical reaction that turns testosterone into estrogen or turns estrogen into testosterone.
So for men who have the high levels of estrogen, how do you bring them back down to normal?
Well, one, we try to find out what's causing it. If they're abusing testosterone or their levels are way too high, then we bring their levels down
to
where they should be.
Easy fix.
Easy fix there. The other problem we have is if their body's just aromatizing it, and then we use a blocker for it. So we can use things that will block that process for us.
So even if it's naturally made in the body, there are something you guys can give them to slow it down.
Exactly. You know, the thing with hormones that's really nice is if you know all the pathways the hormones take and what runs those pathways, then you can kind of manipulate the pathways and make them go where you want them to go.
How so? How do you do it?
Well, again, if somebody is aromatizing their testosterone, then we will give them an aromatase inhibitor to kind of block that process.
Okay.
If somebody, sometimes it can be a natural inhibitor. Sometimes it, you know, is a prescription inhibitor. But the same thing is if the testosterone is going in the wrong pathway for women and causing them to get acne or hair growth and things like that, that is called the 5-alpha reductase pathway. So we like these big words. But we can use medications or we can use supplements to block that pathway. So the same thing, if we know what path it's taking, then we know, and we measure all the downstream effects if we see something. So we can measure those effects and see, and then we can actually manipulate them the way we want them to go.
If you're a male and you think maybe your estrogen levels are too high, you're a female, they might be too low, something you might think is imbalanced when it comes to your hormones, you should definitely check out peaksofhealth.com. They have some good information there, but also take it a step further. Give them a call at 727-826-0838. You'll get that free 15-minute consultation, and who knows, it might lead you to want to go see them at Peaks of Health Metabolic Medical Center. Now, we talk about how important cholesterol can be. How does estrogen affect cholesterol levels?
Well, same thing is you make your estrogen out of cholesterol. So if your estrogen goes down, your cholesterol is going to go up. This is one of the slight pet peeves I have about, you know, all of these cholesterol medications is because with the natural process of aging, with the hormones declining, your cholesterol is automatically going to start increasing and rising as your hormones go down. We put patients back on their hormones and it's amazing how their cholesterol drops 50, 60 points just with replacing those hormones. You know, and that estrogen plays such an important role in preventing Alzheimer's, increasing the metabolism. That's why women gain weight during that process. It affects insulin sensitivity. That's why they have higher risk of becoming diabetic during that process. Body temperature. We all know about hot flashes.
Yep.
That is an estrogen-driven thing. You know, when the estrogen drops or changes, that, you know, temperature regulation system goes up. But they forget about sleep. And one of the important things is, you know, our eyes. Estrogen helps prevent cataract formation. So again,
what are cataracts?
Cataracts are when the lens starts getting foggy in the eye. So the lens kind of opaques or, you know, opacifies in the eye.
And you can see it, right?
And you can actually see a cataract. You know, the biggest way to look at a cataract is look at an older animal, a cat or a dog. And you'll see the clouding of their eyes. That is a cataract that they're forming.
So they're not just blind, they just have cataracts in their
eyes. They have cataracts and they can't see through the opacity. Their lens is no longer clear.
It can lead to blindness.
Can lead to blindness because once you can't see through it. You know, and again, this also helps with blood flow. How thick and how gooey, I call it the gooey arteries and stuff like that, the goo in the arteries, to kind of put it in non-medical terms. The blocking of the arteries. The platelets, that becomes sticky, it decreases that. There are just, so many different things. Collagen, we all get our wrinkled skin,
That's when people get collagens for the face injections?
They start getting injections and things like that of collagen, but estrogen is one of the things that naturally produces our collagen for us. And so that's why when women have their higher estrogen levels, they actually have that really nice skin. And then they start getting the wrinkles as the estrogen declines.
What if they put, we're talking about the injections. Well, you see a lot of women getting the injections of that collagen into their face. What can that do to estrogen levels?
Well, it's not going to affect the estrogen levels. Estrogen just happens to help make collagen in the body, but it, in and of itself, giving collagen into the body is not going to affect their estrogen levels.
How often do you guys find that people come in and really it's about their hormones? Their hormones are not balanced and you have to correct it.
Well, the thing we find is even in most of our other patients that are in for other reasons, if they're in for diabetes or if they're in for, other aging processes, if they're in for autoimmune disorder, before we do anything, we usually have to start correcting their hormonal imbalances because I need the highway working again. I need the information to get to the different places to start correcting things. And if that's not happening, then I start running into problems.
How do we get the traffic off the highway? That's the question. Unlocking the hormone puzzle today on the Dr. Tracy Show, and plenty more pieces to uncover here when it comes to the hormone puzzle. We'll be talking about it more. Aaron Jacobson with Dr. Tracy. This is the Dr. Tracy Show. Aaron Jacobson, Dr. Tracy, the Dr. Tracy Show here on 970 WFLA. Hope you're all having a great weekend as we are here at the 970 WFLA studios. Dr. Tracy and I today, Dr. Tracy is helping myself and everyone listening uncover the hormone puzzle. It's a tough puzzle, a difficult puzzle, but it's something that you seem to have done pretty well at over the years.
Yeah, I mean, I studied hormones for a lot, and it's, really important when you're actually trying to replace hormones or trying to even balance hormones, that it is a balance. You got to realize, that you got to look at all the hormones, just not one or two.
And one of those we just looked at was estrogen. Another one we've talked about before, progesterone. You've brought it up many times on the show. What is this something that – let's talk about progesterone. What is it, first of all?
Progesterone is a hormone, and it's, the counterbalance to estrogen. So progesterone is also one of the hormones in the brain that hits a receptor site called GABA. And GABA is our calming system. It's the inhibitory center of our brain. So it kind of calms everything down. So that's, it's the same area that a category of medication called benzodiazepines. People know them as Valium, Ativan, Xanax. That's where they work. And that's why they're anti-anxiety. And so progesterone works the same way. So I try to explain, women don't have a Xanax deficiency when they go into menopause. They have a progesterone deficiency.
You need more GABA.
You need more GABA.
And what is it actually... like when it comes to progesterone, is it a steroid? What is it?
Well, again, all hormones are a form of steroids. Okay. That's their basic compound. And then they have different links on different parts of it. So it just depends on what link is where for where what the hormone is. So progesterone is, again, mainly a female hormone. Although, if you want to calm a man down, you can use a little tiny itty bitty dose of progesterone. You give a man too much progesterone and they start crying like a baby.
Yeah. And you bring up Xanax and things like that, things that we know lead to addiction problems. So what role does progesterone deal with addiction?
Well, again, one of the reasons, we can get some people off of these medications is we can use progesterone to hit the same receptor site so that they, because when you have a medication that you're addicted to, what happens is it's downregulated your receptor site, so it doesn't work as well. And so you have to rebuild that receptor site in order to be able to get them off that medication without them craving it. Mm-hmm. And then again, a lot of addictions are involved in the dopamine system that rewards center of the brain. And so progesterone works on dopamine. So it helps us to allow, them not to have to keep on hitting that button for that reward system.
Now, you're not a rehab, I know that. But if people were dealing with something like Xanax dependency, anything that you named, what's the medical term?
Addiction.
For the family, the Xanax, the Valiums.
Benzodiazepines.
If you have a problem with that, can they come in to see you? Can you give them stuff like progesterone to help them? Obviously, if they're hardcore addicts, they should go to rehab and get the proper treatment to get off that substance. But if they're having addiction issues and maybe it's not too extreme, could they come see you?
We do actually treat some of our patients that have been on antidepressants and, you know, the benzodiazepines that are wanting to come off, you know. And it's a very slow process because, you know, the same thing with antidepressants. They downregulate receptor sites. You take somebody off an antidepressant and within 3 weeks they're going to want to be back on it.
Okay.
You know, and so it is a slow process because we rebuild those receptor sites so they don't need the medication anymore.
And you're not addiction specialist by any
not
means.
Not by any means.
So it's not, so if that's something you are dealing with, don't expect to go to Peaks of Health Metabolic Medical Center and get yourself cured from addiction. They can help obviously ease the pain. Is that what it seems like? Progesterone help get you, your maybe not ease the pain, but get your mind back to where it needs to
be? Eases that anxiety, the reason you're using the medication in the first place, you know, and then of course it eases off, you know, some of the reasons you're taking it. You know, it's multidisciplinary when you're doing that. We look at those neurotransmitters to see exactly what's happening.
It's a mental game.
It's a mental game. So, you know, in some cases, and it's a physical game. So you have to kind of fix the physical need so that they don't need it.
What are some other miscellaneous effects of progesterone?
Well, progesterone, again, is really related into anxiety, depression, irritability, the mood swings. These, again, are not just, you know, your perimenopause and your menopause patients, but these are your PMS patients. Most girls who have severe PMS have progesterone deficiencies and higher estrogen levels. And it's that balance you have to create with estrogen and progesterone. So you have to rebalance that ratio. But they're at pain and inflammation, you know. A lot of women will end up with a lot more muscle pain, hip pain, and things like that when their progesterone levels are low. And the reason for that is progesterone goes up into high, high levels right before birth so you can relax your hip joints and let everything relax.
So is it fair to say instead of telling your wife she's PMSing, just say you're progesterone deficient?
Hey, that's a much better term.
Much better, right?
They might not smack you then.
See, guys, I'm helping you out here. You're welcome.
My husband's funny, though, you know, because when I'm a little bit really irritable, he'll be like, honey, did you perhaps forget your progesterone last night?
He learned. He's a smart man.
So that's his signal to tell me I'm being a real, you know what.
There you go. Progesterone deficient is your new term.
Yeah, weight gain. Again, progesterone deficiency leads to estrogen dominance, which leads to weight gain. So a lot of, you know, people who gain weight and nervousness, migraines. Again, women who have migraines during their cycles, if you give them progesterone during the cycles, it makes their migraines go away. So
What about men with migraines?
Well, men with migraines usually aren't a progesterone deficiency. It can be other things that are going on. We always look at like food intolerances, high... in terms of cortisol levels for high adrenaline in the brain.
What about stress? Like you said, adrenaline in the brain. I know sometimes
magnesium.
I'll do like a set, whatever shift where I'm talking a lot on the air and you don't really think about it. You're just kind of going with the flow and then you take a step back. I'm sure a lot of people do when they get done with work. You sit down and you go, it's so quiet, but my head is pounding right now.
Magnesium. I mean, that is amazing. This is not new for me. I mean, we use magnesium injections to kind of stop migraine headaches. I've been doing this for 25 years. We used to do this in the emergency room all the time before we had all the drugs to give people. We used to give them IV bags of mag, and that would break their headaches. Great.
But when was the last time Dr. Tracy had a real headache?
Oh, God, I don't know. I don't get that many headaches.
You don't get that many.
Well, I take a lot of magnesium every day.
Yeah, you've got the cure.
So I rarely ever get a headache.
See, that's something I think a lot of people don't realize, that you can stop these things. If you take the right steps every day, you don't have to live life with a headache every day.
Because the majority of them are stress and tension. You know, and if you treat those things on a regular basis, then you shouldn't have the problem.
And I think we know that too. Like, I know when I get a headache, it's because I was not relaxed and now I'm trying to relax and my brain function was at a high and now I'm bringing it back to normal and everything kind of crashes on you.
Exactly. It's also why people do those oxygen bars and things like that. Because, you know, as I said, what we used to do for patients is put them on oxygen and IV mag drip and they were fine.
2016 oxygen bars. I'll go to a real bar. 727-826-0838. You can get a free 15-minute consultation with Peaks of Health Metabolic Medical Center if you make that call, 727-826-0838. Check out their website, peaksofhealth.com. Unlocking the hormone puzzle. We've got it all here today on the Dr. Tracy Show. Aaron Jacobson with Dr. Tracy will continue to unlock that hormone puzzle next. This is the Dr. Tracy Show. Aaron Jacobson with Dr. Tracy. You can get us every week here on 970 WFLA at 3 o'clock. You'll get an hour with myself and Dr. Tracy. And Dr. Tracy always has some great information. But if there's some more that you want to figure out, you can go to their website, peaksofhealth.com, because anything you didn't hear on the show, you can probably find it on their website. A lot of good stuff there, peaksofhealth.com. Today we're unlocking the hormone puzzle, and we were talking about progesterone. And what does that hormone, progesterone, what does that have to do with aging? How does it affect the aging process?
Well, again, progesterone is unbelievably important to the brain function. And so that's one of the things that helps keep the brain calmer and not as overexcited. And again, when we're talking about hormones, most of our decline occurs as our hormones decline, you know, because they're the ones keeping that highway and that information flowing. And a lot of that information starts stopping. So it's really important, again, in osteoporosis, you know, progesterone is one of the things that help us maintain bone health. It's one of the things that keeps us younger, you know, with not only skin, but memory. And then again, you know, how we deal with stress. You know, it's heavily involved. There's progesterone receptor sites on not only the dopamine, but the serotonin system. That's one of the reasons why you can get depression when your progesterone's down. So it does heavily impact how rapidly we start aging.
And I know a lot of people now, they like to go out and get the quick fix. I'm going to go get plastic surgery. I don't need to age because I can go under the knife and they'll take care of it. But if you want to do it the natural way, hormones, changing the hormones, the way your hormones are affecting your body, that's the way to do it, the natural way.
Yeah, if you really truly want to see it, start looking at people from the 30 to the 40th to the 50th decade as the hormones start declining, because they start declining in the early 30s. And you'll see the aging process of that person from that time out.
Or just look at me from 22 to 25.
Yeah.
You'll figure it out right away.
Yeah, you guys peak at like 18 to 20.
It's crazy.
Us women peak about 30.
Well, you're lucky, because I look like I'm 72 right now. At least I feel that way. Let's talk about testosterone. Tell us a little bit about testosterone.
Well, testosterone is unbelievably important in both women and men. You know, we think of it only as a male hormone, but the same way as estrogen is important in men, testosterone is important in females also. But this is, you know, definitely a hormone of rebuild. You know, this rebuilds everything. Testosterone especially helps you increase your muscle mass. That's why men have a lot more muscle mass, because they have about 10 times the testosterone as a female does. You know, and it's really important in the levels. You know, a lot of people don't realize, most people aren't going to really realize that they have low testosterone until they have sexual dysfunction. Mm-hmm. You know, and but you're pretty low at that point. And the numbers that they have out there for when you're low are based on when you should be getting sexual dysfunction from the low testosterone, not when you lose benefit of heart protection, brain protection, bone protection. It's, you know, it's when sexual dysfunction.
I guess, of course,
that's the only thing that really counted
it
when
is.
They made up those numbers.
The only thing that matters, right?
Yeah. So by the time you hit that, you know, 250 to 300 mark, you know, that's when you can actually start having problems. But a lot of men can have lower testosterone levels and start having, you know, increased risks of brain dysfunction, problems with, you know, their bones. You know, they can start having weakening of their bones. They can start having increased cardiovascular issues, you know, with lower testosterone, because testosterone does dilate the coronary arteries. It does decrease plaquing of the arteries.
You could tell men that you have to chop their left leg off because of testosterone, and they're not going to change anything. You tell them they can't have sex anymore with low T.
Oh, they'll
change
take it
a
in
lot.
A heartbeat. I mean, they'll line up for it, you know, but they do have a lot of signs and symptoms. You know, we always hear about the low T syndrome.
Yep.
Are you tired? Are you irritable? You know, are you getting the increased belly fat? You know, those kinds of things are very pretty typical. They can get anxiety and nervousness too with low testosterone. Testosterone is very important. Also, when we talk about brain function, there is a lot of studies that show low testosterone is linked into Alzheimer's disease in men. So, and I did a lot of studying on this when my father had Alzheimer's. He was on testosterone injections, and his doctor said, oh, you reached this age, you don't need it anymore. And they took him off of it, you know, and that's also where I realized he started deteriorating, you know.
They took him off his normal routine.
They took him off his normal routine.
The estrogen, you said that affects women a lot. You need to get those levels right when it comes to testosterone with men. How important is it for their overall health?
It is very important for their health. You know, again, very important for heart protection. There were some studies that came out on testosterone showing increased heart disease, and that's they've been really debunked. I mean, they were very poor, lousy studies, and they've been shown to be inaccurate. There have been several studies since that we already talked about, you know, that do show that testosterone decreases the risk of heart disease. Testosterone rebuilds bone. And again, this is where it becomes important in my women along with my men, because we can use testosterone to get women estrogen to rebuild their bone, not just maintain their bone when they have osteoporosis. And testosterone is unbelievably important in men for diabetes. Almost every single one of my diabetic guys have low T. And it's because of that relationship between that and the sugar. Testosterone increases the sensitivity to sugar. So when you're low in testosterone, you have increased insulin resistance.
So not only will you have low T, you'll have diabetes. It's not good.
It's not good. When you start combining all of that, it ends up being pretty bad. And that's, you know, one of the things I end up having to do for a lot of my diabetic patients to kind of re-stimulate their body to get them more sensitive to insulin to reverse their diabetes. I have to fix their testosterone too.
Now, what about, we talked about progesterone and addiction. What about something like high testosterone? Can it cause more risky behavior, acts of aggression, addiction, habits to the body that are definitely harmful?
The high testosterone doesn't usually cause the problem. They can get a little bit more irritable. What happens is most of the men who abuse testosterone, because if you're getting testosterone from a reputable physician who's monitoring your levels, then one, they're not going to let you go that high to start with. They're going to adjust your dosing. The other thing is most of these patients who are abusing it, they take these blockers of the estrogen and they overblock their estrogen. So when you don't have that estrogen at all in your system and you drive it down to zero, you get road rage. That is the calming effect of the other side of testosterone. We don't want too much of it, but if we drive it too low, that's where you end up with the problems. And that's what we hear about testosterone and road rage.
And road rage is something that I get often. I have to control myself on the roadways.
Yeah. Well, I get irritated from drivers.
Borderline
but
rage.
But it's, you know, I've learned to take some deep breaths.
Border, good. Woosah. You'll get there. What about the brain? You talked about memory, Alzheimer's, the connection there. Let's delve a little bit deeper into that.
Well, it's unbelievably important in brain function. And one of the things that we've learned a lot about, because I do a lot of traumatic brain injury, is that testosterone, growth hormone, those hormones are heavily linked into traumatic brain injury along with progesterone. You know, they've actually done studies where they've given, you know, women post-stroke progesterone, and it is a neurosteroid in the brain. It cuts down the inflammation, same way testosterone does, same way pregnenolone does. So we use these, you know, almost all of the traumatic brain injuries on men, what they find is one of the reasons they're having these behavioral issues after the fact is these hormones have been distorted, you know, because the brain is what signals the body to make these hormones, and that part of the brain gets damaged.
If you have a male patient come in and you find it, you do the blood work, you do the blood test, is it the same as progesterone to find out the deficiencies? You take the blood test for testosterone?
Yeah, we do a blood test for testosterone, and we also look at a couple other hormones called luteinizing hormone and follicle stimulating hormone, because these are the signals out of the brain that tell the body whether to make it or not. So it lets us know, is the patient low because their brain is no longer signaling to make the hormone, or is it low because they're incapable of making the hormone?
What do you do if someone comes in, their testosterone levels are too high?
Well, if they're too high, then we want to know. Are they turning a lot of it into estrogen, and if their estrogen levels are too high, or are they not having enough estrogen? Why are they too high? You know, what happened there? Is their body overdriving the system to kind of stimulate the production? And is it causing them any problem?
What would a person be experiencing if they had, maybe it hasn't converted to estrogen, and I'm not a doctor, I always say that, so I don't know that conversion process, but maybe they have high levels of testosterone, what would they be doing? You talk about rage, what else are we talking about?
Well, again, if they're not inducing the high testosterone, meaning they're not taking it, it's not that common that you see that. The first thing I'm going to look at is the luteinizing hormone and follicle stimulating hormone, see if their brain is overproducing it, or in terms of signaling to be
naturally
overproduced naturally. And if that's the case, I'm going to actually be doing an MRI scan of that pituitary and find out if they have a tumor in there.
Okay. And that could, so something like that, a tumor could affect levels of testosterone and make them go higher?
Tumor can affect a lot of hormones if it's in the pituitary gland, because that is the master gland of the hormone regulation system, meaning they produce all the hormones that tell the body to make hormones. So
if, would you feel that, or is that, would you be able to see that? How could you tell if something like that could be it?
Sometimes you can't tell at all. Some people will have headaches. Some people can have visual changes because it's not that far from that rare area of the brain.
A blocker.
Other people won't know at all. I mean, we had one patient who was being treated for thyroid issues, and he felt so bad on the thyroid, he couldn't figure out why, because his TSH was so high. And then when we measured his entire hormone system, his thyroid hormone itself was good. His thyroid was functioning. It was just a mismatch. So when we ran an MRI, he had a tumor in his pituitary that was causing the problem. So it was, you know, it was hormones that weren't making sense. You know, they weren't matching what they should be doing.
It's got to be scary for you too to see that. You're glad that you diagnosed the problem, but then you see there's a whole other problem that they're going to have to take care of, that tumor.
There is, you know, but you know, they do much better once you learn it's there and you can start treating it.
Figure out the problem, go from there.
Exactly.
What other hormones can we talk about? We talked about estrogen, progesterone, testosterone. Are those the main three that we should really be concerned with?
They're the big three. But again, you also have things like pregnenolone. Pregnenolone is called the mother hormone. That is the hormone in the brain that controls, you know, all the chemicals in the brain we call neurotransmitters. It is the precursor to things like testosterone, estrogen, progesterone, DHEA, and it is also unbelievably important in memory and sleep. And you wouldn't believe how many patients we find with these low hormones, whether they've had a traumatic brain injury in the past, because this is, again, one of your neurosteroids, meaning it cuts inflammation out of the brain. And so that becomes very important. All of our fibromyalgia patients, our chronic pain patients, all have really low levels because this is a hormone that helps control the pain center in the brain. And if it's not there's no control. So people have exaggerated pain symptoms.
I'm trying to wonder, what is sterone? Because you see all these sterones. You got progesterone, testosterone.
They're just steroids.
Estrogen's all alone. What about estrogen? Must feel bad. There's no sterone.
Yeah. I mean, speaking of estrogen, what's really important is most people aren't aware that there's more than one kind of estrogen. We just talk about estrogen as a blanket term.
Yeah.
But there's three different kinds of estrogen in the body, and it really makes a difference as to what kind you're using and measuring all different ones. Because estrone, which is called E1, is your high-risk cancer estrogen. And we watch these levels because the women, when they go into their menopause, perimenopause area, they're at highest risk for their breast cancers at that point because the progesterone and the testosterone protects them against breast cancer. And the estrogen's unopposed at that point.
We're going to get more into that, and we're going to unlock the puzzle, the hormone puzzle, continue to unlock it with Dr. Tracy on the Dr. Tracy Show next. Dr. Tracy Show, Aaron Jacobson with Dr. Tracy. Want to get right back into things because we have so much more to talk about. And this, like we always say, the show goes by so fast. So we want to get it in. We're talking about unlocking the hormone puzzle today on the Dr. Tracy Show. And before the break, we talked about estrogen. And you said there are three types of estrogen. Let's get into that.
Yeah, there's estradiol, there's estrone, and there's estriol. So estrone is E1, and that is the estrogen you produce more so in menopause. So you start switching it a little bit. That is what we call, there's two receptors of estrogen, alpha and beta. And the alpha receptor is your higher risk cancer receptor. And estrone is primarily an alpha receptor estrogen. That's why it's higher risk. That's why most women have their higher risk of breast cancer in their 40s and 50s when they start going through the perimenopause, menopause time. Then you have estradiol, which is what your ovaries make. That's the estrogen that's predominant in most women. And that's one that's commonly given in hormone replacement. And then you have estriol, which is a pregnancy estrogen. It's called E3. And that estrogen is almost all beta receptors. So it's a very safe estrogen to give. And we do that so that women can have really high estrogen levels during pregnancy and not be at risk at that point.
See, when I hear you talk about Dr. Tracy, I immediately say, and I'm sure anyone listening going, this doctor knows her stuff. Dr. Tracy knows what she's talking about. What are some questions to ask a doctor if you're going to somebody that is not Dr. Tracy and you really want to make sure they're not a phony? They're telling the truth. They know what they're talking about. What are the questions to ask?
Well, I think the big questions are, does your doctor know that there are more than one kind of estrogen? And what kind are they going to give you? And how are they going to give it? And what dosing do they usually use? Do they know the typical dosings? Because we customize our hormones to the patient. I'm a little bit, skeptical sometimes when I find patients that are only on one hormone alone because we mix and blend some of our hormones. And how are they bioidentical? Is your doctor using bioidentical hormones or using they synthetic? Are they giving you oral estrogen? Because I don't give any oral estrogen whatsoever. That goes first past liver and increases clotting abilities and increases risk for strokes and things. So why would I do that?
This is why I love you, Dr. Tracy, because I have nothing to do with Peaks of Health, but doing this show with you guys, you truly want people to actually get the knowledge they need. So anything else, even if they don't go to see you, to get the knowledge to maybe go to another doctor, when you're telling me during the break, hey, let's ask about what they can find out from other doctors, the right questions to ask. So you can go to another doctor, use this information, test them.
Exactly. Ask questions. I love my patients to come in with a list of questions and ask me. I want them to be informed. We give patients articles about hormones if that's what they want. That is a big decision for a female, whether they're going to do hormone replacement or not. And so even a man. So we have articles that they can read. We have literature they can see. We have websites they can go to so that they can actually do their due diligence too.
Stump the doctor. If you go into another doctor's office and you ask them how many types of estrogen there are and they say seven, you should just walk out of that building.
Yeah, there aren't seven estrogens.
Just walk away. Walk away because they're wrong. So definitely take what we give you, what Dr. Tracy gives you, not me. I'm the layperson taking it in with you. But take it. Use it other places you go. You don't have to just use it to go see them. If you want, they've got everything you need at Peaks of Health Metabolic Medical Center. But use these this knowledge elsewhere, make sure you're getting the right treatment.
Exactly. And, you know, if you look on the website, you'll see that we run seminars free to the public. So if they want to come in and learn more about different topics, they can join, you know, come to a seminar and they can actually learn about, you know, extensively more in depth about this stuff.
And peaksofhealth.com, their website, you should know it by now. Dr. Tracy, how do you replace hormones?
Well, you can replace hormones in multiple different ways. As I said, at our center, we use bioidentical only, but you can replace, you know, estrogen by patches. You can use creams. You can use, we do a lot of pellets for the hormones. You can also do testosterone through patches, creams, injections. You can do etroches. You can do sublinguals into the tongue, like little candies. And then again, you can do testosterone and pellets. Progesterone is usually either in a cream form, a liquid form, a troche form, or a capsule form.
You have the candies at your place?
Yeah, we order them. We have them custom made.
They got the candies. I'm hooked. That's good. Peaks of Health Metabolic Medical Center. You can get all this stuff there. Like I said, peaksofhealth.com, the website to find more information. It's time, Dr. Tracy, for In the News. What's cooking in the news this week?
Well, we decided since we are doing hormones and stuff that we do a couple studies on that kind of thing. And so this one is called Latest Prostate Treatment. So common sunscreen chemicals disrupt hormones. So since we're in Florida and we use a lot of sunscreens.
I thought SPF 1000.
Yes. I actually wrote an article on sunscreen a few years ago. And so there are quite a few different compounds that you have to avoid. I usually have most of my patients use a mineral compound so because they're fairly safe.
We're talking about sunscreen?
We're talking about sunscreen.
So I have to actually watch what sunscreen. I thought just putting on the sunscreen was good enough.
No, not putting on the sunscreen.
You got to go deeper than that?
You got to go deeper than that. You got to know which chemicals. There's especially one called oxybenzone. And if that chemical is in your sunscreen, it is a hormonal disruptor and can increase things like estrogen dominance, endometriosis, and some certain conditions. And it can decrease sperm count in men.
Whoa, alarms should be going off, gentlemen. Now, if you, we're not going to call out any companies by name, but how do you find out if these sunscreens have this stuff that you shouldn't be getting in it? Do you look on the back and the ingredients?
You do. You look on the ingredients. You know, some of the common ones, as I said, if you're using a sunscreen that's primarily a mineral sunscreen, you know, the old zinc oxide that we don't like the white faces for, that is usually quite safe. And then again, there's several, you know,
yeah, so we got to go full white face to be
full
healthy.
White face. The Neutrogena products are also pretty good. They do not carry the oxybenzone. But I figured since we're talking about hormones and we're in Florida, that would be a good topic to look at to remind people to watch their sunscreens, use the natural sunscreens that don't affect the system.
I'm glad you brought it up. Like I said, I just thought the process of putting the sunscreen on, I was like, I'm an adult. I'm being responsible. I'm putting sunscreen on. Clearly, it's not.
We've got to be careful because a lot of these have chemicals in there that are very big disruptors for us and are not really good for our systems. Even makeup, to a certain extent, has a lot of different chemicals in it. Nail polish has chemicals in it that can disrupt our systems. So
don't have to worry about that.
Yeah, you don't have to worry about that. I have never seen nail polish on Aaron.
Thank you. Make sure to clear that up for everyone because I've heard some people spreading some rumors. This is the Dr. Tracy Show. Really great information today. Anything you want to find out about stuff like hormones, anything weight loss, thyroid, diabetes, all that stuff's on their website. Really good information on the website, peaksofhealth.com. And if you want to physically go see them, Peaks of Health Metabolic Medical Center. Dr. Tracy, how can they find you on the road?
If they go, if they're in Largo, we are on Belcher between East Bay and Almerton, and we are on the west side of the street.
Peaks of Health Metabolic Medical Center. You want to check that out, 727-826-0838. Once again, 727-826-0838. They have a really cool IV room there, and it's very relaxing, and my voice is getting more relaxed as I talk about it because it's bringing me back to when I visited, and it's something you definitely all should check out. Check out the website, peaksofhealth.com. Dr. Tracy, another great week.
Oh, thank you. I hope everybody has a great weekend.
Yeah, I hope everyone has a great weekend and a great week ahead. And that's it for us. Until next week, Aaron Jacobson, Dr. Tracy, this is the Dr. Tracy Show.